Thank you very much, Fred. Fred Blair, our ever-faithful streamer and creator of Access Codes. My name is James Sagerton. This is the meeting of Pacifica's National Finance Committee for April 25th, 2023. We believe we've established quorum, so I'm going to ask the Secretary, R. Paul Martin, to read the roll. Take the roll.
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams. Teresa Allen.
Present.
Elizabeth Von Gunten. Kamau Harris.
Present.
Julie Hewitt.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. James McFadden.
Present.
Sean Kelly McPherson. James Sagerton.
Here.
And that's six, and that's quorum.
I move that we excuse Beth Von Gunten, as I've seen a request that she be excused for this evening.
We don't excuse absences in committees, so it's okay. She just has to be careful not to miss three in a row.
No.
As does everyone.
Point of order, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
The membership of the NFC is set in the bylaws. There is no excused absence. If you're one of those people who is supposed to be on the committee, you stay here even if you never show up ever.
Really? Very good. Okay. Good to know. So I'm not sure we should have told everybody that, because now nobody will ever show up. But that's good to know. I'm just kidding. Take it easy. Okay, so thank you for taking the roll, R. Paul. Excuse me. That takes us now to adopting the agenda. I will read the agenda. Number one is convene the meeting. Number two, roll call. Number three, adopt the agenda. Number four, the minutes for 5 minutes. Number five, nominations for committee officers. Officers postponed until tonight, 5 minutes. Six, report from the executive director for 30 minutes with Q&A. Seven is review of the latest financials. We have 15 minutes for that. We'll see if it takes longer or not. Number eight is select budget timelines for 30 minutes. And number 10 is adjourn no later than 10:15 p.m. Eastern time. And R. Paul, I see that I missed number nine and have 10 instead, so you'll have to correct that. All right. Is there any discussion of the agenda? Hearing none, is there any objection? Okay, we can go ahead. R. Paul, I understand we have some minutes.
Yes, we do. Hold on a second. All right.
Take your time.
Okay, I move that we approve the minutes of the February 28th and March 14th NFC meetings.
Very good. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Very good. We'll consider that done, with the proviso, as always, that they can be adjusted or amended at any time in the future. That brings us to number five, excuse me, nominations for committee officers. That was postponed until tonight's meeting. I've been following up with our director from KPFK on this regularly, and she's telling me now that she doesn't know when they'll get a treasurer here because of the difficulties they're having there. So it was her motion that we postpone nominating officers, and she agreed that it was time to go ahead and do that. So with that explanation, I'd like to open nominations for officers. We have the chair and we have the secretary. So why don't we do the secretary first? Is there anyone who would like to nominate a candidate for secretary?
Julie, may I be recognized?
Yes, Julie, go ahead.
I would very much like to nominate R. Paul Martin from WBAI. as the secretary.
I accept.
Thank you very much, Julie, and thank you, R. Paul. And are there any other nominees for secretary? Hearing none, we'll say that nominations for secretary are closed. And R. Paul, I guess since there are no other nominees, we can consider you by acclaim to be the secretary going forward.
I ask if there's any objection.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, I think we can safely say that you are the secretary. You will be the secretary. And I, for one, will say thank you very much. It's a lot of work.
Point of information?
Go ahead.
The nominations happen today, and there's a period of time for voting, right?
Well, only if there's more than one.
Let me just finish. So I would normally thought there was a period of time where people would vote, and you could, you know, if there it could be a secret ballot or whatever. And in that situation, I'm not sure there's any clause so people could write in a candidate. And not that anybody else is going to want to do it. You know, Ron does a great job. Our Paul does a great job. But I don't know if that's if you have to kind of just go through the motions. That's the question. Especially since we're just barely quorum.
Yeah, I did consider the fact that we are just barely quorum. I have no objection to leaving it open. I don't think we usually do that, but I do take the point that we are at barely quorum. R. Paul, do you have any comment on that?
Well, how are we going to put that in the minutes then? I don't know. No, basically, we have a quorum. If a quorum doesn't mean anything, then we shouldn't bother with a meeting. We have a quorum. We're doing business. It's a noticed meeting. Everybody knows it's happening. So, you know. I mean, I guess I'm arguing about something that I'm sort of an interested party in, but it just seems to me in general that we've not had, even when we've had some contention on the committee, we've not bothered, you know, if there's only one nominee to go through some sort of motion. I don't know what motions we'd go through.
Yeah. Can I ask another quick question? Maybe
you may, but let me just say one other thing first. I think everybody has known that these nominations were kind of out there. So if I haven't heard from anybody else about any other possible nominations, even from people who aren't here, who, you know, might have wanted us to postpone because they're not here. But be that as it may, go ahead, McFadden.
The people who serve as in these two offices, do they serve at the pleasure of the committee? And so they
yes.
can be replaced at any time? Then it really doesn't matter. Then we should just go forward.
Yes.
If that's the case, then let's just forget it. I was off base. I just thought about how this works, and I think now it's, you know, we can always replace somebody if somebody wants to later. So let's go ahead
okay.
and say that.
Understood.
Acclimation.
Okay. Thank you, McFadden. So, R. Paul, I guess that's how you'll take care of it in the minutes, right? It's by acclamation.
Yeah.
It's done. Very good. All right. Then let's go to the chair position. Are there any nominations for chair?
Julie, may I be recognized?
Yes, Julie. Go ahead.
I would very much like to nominate Jim Sagerton to be the chair of the NFC. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Julie. I'll accept. Are there any other nominees? Hearing none. I guess we'll do the same thing, right, R. Paul? We'll just declare it by acclamation.
Ask if there's any objection.
I believe I did. I'll do it again. Is there any objection? No, I actually didn't do that. You're right. Hearing none. I think we can consider that done. I want to thank everybody on the committee. And thank you, Julie, for the nomination. So I did not declare the nominations closed. I suppose I should have done that. So we'll just declare that it's the election is affected. Okay. Let's now go to number six, which is report from the executive director. Stephanie, are you ready?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Go ahead, then.
Marquita and I have been meeting on a regular basis with the division general managers and the business managers and the directors to go over the consolidated financials. We have just the questions that we have is, you know, a lot of the revenue that is shown on the consolidated financials often just go under listener support, and that's just because there's some coding issues when that revenue is first put in. So we are reviewing some of the recoding, and that's going to be happening, some recoding being done at KPFK. KPFT didn't have any changes. WBAI didn't have any major changes. WPFW didn't have any changes. We're planning the review still with KPFA. The affiliates network, we're reviewing the financials with them on Thursday, and the archives didn't have any changes as well. So in the meetings that we've had with people, we've been talking also about budgeting for this upcoming year. And we are created a more simplified form. So each of the different programmers or people that are at the stations responsible for bringing in money, it's not as overwhelming for them to see sort of just this big, huge budget form. So I'm just doing a very simplified form for them to fill out, you know, for example, how much do you anticipate in car donations, or how much if you're doing music programming, how much do you get in underwriting and sponsorships, that kind of thing. So it's a lot easier for individuals who may not necessarily work with spreadsheets on a regular basis. They can just answer these simple questions, and then Marquisha and I can plug those in because our goal, as well as the majority of the general managers, all of the general managers actually, and the directors, want to make sure that we have budgets done for this upcoming fiscal year prior to the start of the fiscal year. And they're all very open and eager to then review those budgets on a regular basis so we can have a better idea of projected cash flow. All of the divisions made payroll and their health benefits payments for this upcoming pay period. The national office did have to cover some of the health benefits costs for some of the divisions, but that will slowly kind of be paid back when each of those divisions is able to raise those funds. So we're happy to say that everything made their health benefits. With the CPB grant that's coming up, been working on that quite a bit. A lot of the financials that deal with that have to do with our most recently audited financial statements. And so we have those numbers already that can be just plugged in. There's kind of a lot, I wouldn't consider it busy work, but some of the stuff that goes in there is that, you know, each employee, I need to fill out a form for them with their name, position, the hours per week that they devote to their radio station duties, their salary, their benefits, when they started the position, how many years they've been at the station. So a lot of that repetitive work is being done. And then I'm just sort of written a lot of the copy and then set that aside for a day or so and then go back and revise it. That's just kind of in general how I do a lot of writing, so I can look at it with some fresh eyes after resting for a little bit, getting the thoughts out of my brain and then just looking at it again with fresh eyes. So that should be the written part of it, should be completed very, very soon. Still requesting, I received from KPFK the rating, or the, you know, our listeners and our ratings for the last few years. And that's going to be kind of what I'm stressing to get from all of the general managers, is that we need to get our ratings for two spring periods for the last 2 years. And then the most recently closed period as well. The year is kind of divided into quarters for CPB. So that will be added in there. We also needed FCC-approved coverage maps for each of the stations, or each of the towers, and then also a population analysis for the most recent from the most recent census. And so those have been completed for all of the stations as well. So we are on track to being able to submit it on time. I'm sure things will pop up over the next 2 weeks as I start reviewing and putting everything together, but at least we are on track with that. Any questions?
Stephanie, could you just add a little bit about what we spoke about formulas this afternoon? Do you recall getting our teacher to possibly get the formulas?
The spreadsheets, that people receive with consolidated financials is a printout of a report, and the formulas are actually in the actual, are in Great Plains when all those numbers are pulled. So there are no formulas that are attached to these statements because those formulas are in the original, the input part. So I know that wasn't very, that stated very well, but ask Marquita today if we could try to pull reports. They may not look like the ones we get that would have those formulas in there, since people have been asking for the formulas on how these numbers are plugged in there. But the numbers, for example, like when you get listener support, you know, for October, that's connected actually to a separate spreadsheet, which then has each of those revenue streams put and, you know, put in and plugged in. And then from that is created a formula, which then adds to the other spreadsheet, which then plugs the number in there. So the formulas exist, but it may be that in order to see all those formulas after each Excel spreadsheet for each station will be another sheet that has all of the input, which has all of the formulas. So it'll just, it's there. It'll just be more pages to review.
And that's what we like here at Pacifica.
Yes.
Just kidding. Great. Okay. Any other questions?
I have a question.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Teresa.
Yes. Stephanie, you've been doing evaluations of staff, and I'm sure they've done, have all of the general managers done their self-evaluation?
No, not all of them have yet. We had some stations that were more of a priority to get some of the evaluations done, so it wasn't rolled out to all of the, not all of the general managers have completed their self-evaluations yet.
Okay, well, I guess my question is, how much of an evaluation for general managers or program directors will it be that they are developing a budget that they can keep, that they can meet, a valid budget? Is that part of their evaluation?
No, the evaluation is for work that is done, not work that is to be done. But from the evaluation of work that has been done, we then create the work to be done. So then we create objectives and you know, what needs to be done as they move forward based upon the evaluation of what they've done in the past.
So the
budgeting is not so much that you have to meet the goals as defined in your budget, not so much the creating, whatever the wording may be. You know, it's not like part of your job description is to create your budget and keep within that budget.
Well, we are asking the general managers to come up with a budget, right? And that is in their job description that they develop a budget.
Correct.
Okay, and
some
so
of
we're
the,
not
having some of the volunteers. I mean, today I had a phone call with Marquisha, and I were meeting with KPFK, the interim general manager. And so, like, a lot of them were kind of like, he was asking, where is the budget? You know, the budget that the National Finance Committee looked at last year, was that for this current fiscal year that the Finance Committee looked at, or was it the past fiscal year? And then, if we keep creating budgets and budgets that are approved that are running the deficit, I mean, that we can't really continue to move forward that way. So we need to, I mean, part of their job is to create a manageable budget that is realistic and stick to that budget.
All right. So are you having any luck with working with the general managers to develop the budgets that come before this committee?
With some of them, yes. A lot of them, it's we're just sitting down and kind of starting from scratch because they don't have the budgets that have been presented and used in the past haven't been stuck to because central service payments haven't been made. The revenue is just kind of tagged in, but they're not really held accountable if that revenue is not made. So the budgets have almost become something that is just on paper, gets approved, never looked at, and they're not really taken that seriously, which is, I think, why we're just kind of looking at if there's bills that are being paid at some stations that we don't have record that they're getting paid because they're getting paid from a PayPal account, and we don't have, Mark Keisha and I don't have access to that PayPal account. Or we, you know, there's no paper trail that's kind of following through with it. So it's kind of a much bigger picture as we bring in a lot of the, as I think some of the programmers, so they can get a general idea of when we talk about revenue stream and your program is anticipated to bring in this much revenue, that becomes a line item and a note within our upcoming budget. So it's almost like a sense of retraining the staff, whether it's business managers and general managers, of this is why we create budgets, and it's not just something that we put on paper, it's in a deficit, it gets approved, it never gets looked at again, and, you know, like the KPFK, it's only because I had a phone call with them today, you know, KPFK doesn't have a budget that's approved for this fiscal year, and we're already talking about creating the budget for next fiscal year. So it's like, you know, we're creating this budget, but I told them today that what we need to do is just take a look at the consolidated finances that we have, all the general managers, and based upon the consolidated financials that we're ending in February, we need to project out what the rest of this fiscal year is. We really have to kind of step back of figuring out how to create a budget for this fiscal year because we're already halfway through it. So now we just need to set out our projections to continue through the year to deal with that cash flow and plug in where this income is. If money's coming in and landing in a PayPal account, that needs to be listed on the revenue. That just doesn't
of
mean
course.
That there's money sitting in a pay, you know, that kind of thing. So part of their job moving forward, including this year, is to create a realistic budget for this upcoming fiscal year that we have to look at on a regular basis, and we have to make sure that that budget is being followed. You know, will central services get paid? What happens if they don't get paid, you know, because it historically hasn't been paid for years. So those are kind of things that sort of retraining the thinking of people that, you know, budgets have to be.
Never mind, Stephanie. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Teresa. Any other questions?
Come out of the staff.
Go ahead, come out.
Good evening, Stephanie. You had a you mentioned earlier that you were reviewing with the stations their revenue, and I was curious because this has been one of the things we've been trying to isolate over at WPFW. What's the reconciliation? Because I'm finding it difficult to reconcile the revenue that comes in. What are you all doing to get assurances about what the true revenue of the stations are? What are you doing there?
We await for the stations. If we don't have access to their bank accounts, at the end of every month, their bank statements, and then reconcile those bank statements with money in, money out, to what's been put into the financials through either Great Plains or if the division is using QuickBooks. And if things aren't recorded on a regular basis, then that's where we have issues, where our financials from the national side, when we're looking at the reconciled statements of the consolidated financials for everybody, may not match what other people have because they haven't put in their revenue yet, or their expenses aren't being recorded. So, for example, I'm not picking on any station, but only, again, just because I had a phone call today with KPFK, if they're making payments for to the person that has access to their PayPal account, if they're making payments through PayPal to expenses, and then we don't get records sent to us of what bills they paid, that's not going to reflect upon the consolidated financials that we have, because it's not being put into Allegiance in a timely manner. Sometimes KPFA is very late in putting in their income, and then they get late in putting in any sort of bank reconciliations. So there has been, you know, for example, a huge variance in showing a negative on their consolidated financials because not all the revenue has even been put into their accounting system. So we're only pulling information from the information we have. And if that information isn't being kept up on a regular basis, the financials are going to be off and we're not going to get a true picture.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at. So you're still, it's still a work in progress then, I guess is what I'm hearing, to get, you know, comfort level with the revenue or no?
It is, because there isn't, and I don't, people, you know, are learning to, you know, trust that Markeisha and I are just here to help them get in line with the financials. But often it is sort of viewed as if we're asking for bank statements or let us help you with the bank reconciliation. It's often viewed as if we're there telling them, you know, that they're going to get yelled at or reprimanded for not doing something correctly, when really we're just here to help them. We're trying to get a grasp as well as to what's going in. You know, for example, that, you know, there's some, you know, for example, like WBAI, again, not picking, but there are times when bills are entered as an expense, but they haven't been paid. So when there's bills that are entered into WBI's QuickBooks, for example, as when a bill is received, but they haven't put in that the bill is paid, then it gives, you know, kind of a false perception of what the actual financial state is of that department, where it looks like, oh, well, there's a lot of money, but where's all the money gone? And that's because there's some that are doing, you know, they're not really understanding the difference between accrual versus cash accounting. And so then people will ask, well, why does the station raise money? But then the station never has any money. So that's what we're trying to relieve the burden from some of the general managers that feel that they're doing, you know, they're helping by doing the accounting, or work very closely with the business managers, that we're here to help them so we can keep better track of cash on hand and what has to be paid. And just because, you know, money may come in and hit a PayPal account, or money may come in and you know, hit somewhere, don't just very quickly randomly pay out a bill when we might be able to spread out some of those payments to other bills that are more important at that time. There's a lot of little moving parts because we have so many separate bank accounts, so many different, you know, people that are doing accounting in different ways, and they've just been doing it that way for so long. These were issues and concerns that NEDA had as well when we were doing the accounting, is that people are kind of afraid to just let us help you with this. Let us, you know, do the financials to make it easier across the board, where we can just do bank reconciliations all in one month, rather than trying to get statements from other people and then not wanting to share them because they haven't input all the revenue yet on the Allegiance, you know, in Great Plains or Allegiance. And, you know, we're just here to help and make it easier.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I guess my last piece would be, in terms of just, you know, just really focusing on the revenue side, is when the cash actually gets deposited, is anybody going back and determining, like, from a subjournal or some sort of information, what and who the actual money is coming from? Does anyone know that information? You all have a comfort level about what support we have around what cash comes in to the station, I guess is my question.
Yes, as soon as, yeah, when the cash comes in, then it's input into, you know, Allegiant. And that then it needs to be coded. It then speaks to Great Plains. And that's where we kind of run into an issue. We don't have a problem where the revenue is coming, you know, when the revenue is coming in. If it's not input or people get behind in that input, then we don't have record on our side, the national side, of the revenue that's in the station. You know, what, and it may not be coded correctly. So, for example, with KPFK, there's a lot of listener support, but then the car donation line is empty, or partnerships underwriting line or something is empty because money is coming in and it's not being coded correctly on the station side. So then we have to go back in and say, well, yeah, there is revenue that came in from car donations, but let's now pull that out and recode it. And the same is with expenses. You know, if money is just kind of listed as expense, and for the longest time, revenue or expenses were being put into Great Plains as just an end of month expense, and it wasn't being broken down. So if you run reports, which is what we were trying to catch up with, is that when Markeisha started running reports of the financials from last year, every expense on every division was just listed as an EOM, end of month. And we had to go back in and break it down as to, well, what is that expense?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Thank you so much for that. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Kamau. Stephanie, I want to just ask a little follow-up question based on Kamau's questions. You know, this is by way of a little background, which I guess you got some of when you were working with the NEDA people during the transition. But it was like a 2-year or more struggle just to get NEDA access to the bank accounts at the stations. And I got information that was leading me to believe that we were succeeding in that battle and that we had accomplished direct access to the bank accounts of the stations with one possible exception. But then later I learned that, no, that wasn't the case. We were still having issues with direct access, you know, eyes-only access to the bank accounts. And it, something you just said makes me think that we're really not – we haven't resolved that to the extent that I thought we had. You don't have – did you say earlier that you don't have direct access to the bank accounts? And, again, I'm not – I don't mean to move money around. I mean – to view the bank accounts of all the stations. And I know there's multiple ones out there for some stations, but
right.
Can you
those
see
that,
these bank accounts?
Those that bank with bank. National office, I can see the payroll accounts, if we have a separate payroll account, and I can see the affiliates. I personally cannot see any other accounts. Markeisha.
And Markeisha is the same?
If it's Bank of America, it's not a problem. Markeisha can pull up and see the account for KPFT because she came from KPFT. So she has the ability to see what's in that bank account. For us to see what's in the bank account for WPFW and for KPFA and for the archive and any PayPal account, we have to call and ask for the business manager or whoever manages that account to give us a balance.
Would you agree that that's something that we should, that should be corrected?
Yes.
And then any idea how long that may take? I mean, it seems like something that we need to do sooner than later.
Yeah, well, even, I mean, we're trying to figure it out with PayPal. I believe Markeisha does have PayPal too. I mean, Doug does have you only access to PayPal for KPFK. A lot of the other PayPal accounts were not set up with even the national office PayPal account. There's a phone number connected to it that we're still trying to figure out what that phone number is. And so it's working with PayPal is somewhat difficult. So we're trying to still work with PayPal to figure that out. I would love to be able to just type in that we have, you know, view only access to accounts just so we can get a better understanding of cash on hand. But that is a matter of, again, filling out the forms and doing what we need to do to change access within the banks at the local level and figuring out who's the signer, who's not the signer, that kind of thing. It's really just more time consuming, not that we're not trying, but, you know, getting one form from a bank may take up to 2 weeks to get what needs to be signed. And then if something needs to be notarized and then delivering it, that kind of thing. So people have been, you know, very helpful. WPFW, anytime you make a phone call, we get that, you know, dollar amount at any given moment. And then even at KPFT, the general manager doesn't have access to the bank accounts and is a volunteer and interim general manager. So when he needs the balance, then he calls up Markeisha, and then Markeisha is able to give that to him. So, yeah, things would be a lot easier if we're all just, you know, under one account and the national office was able to have access to everything. We handled the billing. We handled the invoicing. You know, we had purchase orders put in place. We had expense reimbursement forms done. You know, we dealt with who has petty cash and if they need petty cash, paying credit card accounts. But everybody has just kind of branched off into their own banking and accounting system over the years that we try to reel everybody in to just have it as one foundation. Managing the funds is a lot of, a lot of convincing people that that's the best and most effective way and efficient way to manage the funds in the foundation.
Well, I was about to ask you if this is, because at first it sounded like you were leaning towards saying it's not a problem with the personnel, it's a problem with the multiplicity of bank accounts and, you know, the difficulties in dealing with them. But now at the end there, it seems like you're saying it is a little bit of an issue with the personnel. So I guess it's just a multifaceted problem. And I'll just say, you know, I hope we can do as much as possible, as fast as possible on all of that. Okay, so are there any other questions? If nobody else has another question, I've got a couple, but I'll wait again and see if anybody else has a question. Okay, I'll go ahead with mine. Maybe somebody will have another one later. Stephanie, how are we doing on the where are we with the and I don't, you know, you don't need to go into the details, but the variety of lawsuits and paying the attorneys. I know we owe Arthur a lot of money. We have other attorneys out there that are working for us. Are we able to keep up with that? Is there anything that needs to be taken care of soon?
I have on my list to email Arthur and ask what firms are doing what with what case and who owes who what, because the bills that come through are honestly pretty overwhelming and not everything is detailed. It may just say things like, you know, work for KPFK or did work for WPFW or whatever it may be. And then we'll use one firm for something and then not use that firm and then switch to another firm and then go back to that other firm. So there's a lot of bills that are kind of floating around that I need a better understanding of who's doing what for whom. So I'm
okay.
There's a lot of cases that, you know, have little, not that we have a lot of pending lawsuits, we don't, but there's just a lot of attorneys and a lot of firms that have worked on multiple things over the years that need payments. And I don't know what some of these cases are that they may have worked on a year ago or 2 years ago or, you know, I'll get something that says, here's a payment plan, start paying it. But it's like, well, what is this for? And they may throw out a name for a case that doesn't even ring a bell with me. So I don't know if that's something that may have been in the past. And so then I need to get, you know, better detailed bills as to who's whom. I know KPFA pays a lot of their own legal bills, but then a law firm will send a bill out that lists all the work they've done for people, even if it's done, even if it's work for a specific law firm. So then we need to break out. We were just dealing with some bills with that today where somebody wanted payment. And so then they, you know, then legal counsel on our side, you know, might have sent them an email and said, okay, KPFA pays for all those bills. And then KPFA says, well, we pay for the bills that deal with KPFA lawsuits, but we don't deal with the bills that are dealing with Pacifica lawsuits. So then we have to get a breakdown of those bills from the attorneys as to what was KPFA and what was Pacifica. So there's a lot of multiple firms. Some of them we're not doing work with anymore. And so then, you know, how, what are we paying them? And is this for past due? Yeah, it's kind of a little bit of a mess. And it's really just been over the last couple of weeks or so that there's been an exorbitant amount of bills coming through from law firms where people have said, we don't want to deal with this anymore. I mean, something came in just mere like a half an hour ago that was the same thing regarding a case that is not even familiar to me. But yet I was just CC'd on a bill that says the last time they were paid was in April. But it's, again, a case I'm not 100% familiar with. And then we also have not only the bills for the work that's done, but then we'll get a separate bill for retainers. So then whenever a retainer has fallen below, some attorneys are $5,000, some attorneys are $10,000. When the retainer falls below that, then we'll get another bill that's saying to bring that retainer back up to that $10,000 level or the $5,000 level. And that will be a separate bill from the same firm. And then we'll get a next bill the next day for the work that's been done. So is that being deducted from the retainer, or do we have to pay that on top of the $10,000 that we need to keep on? So there's a lot of lawyers that are doing a lot of work, but I'm not too sure what they're doing work on. So as I said, I did have on my list of things to do was to just sit down with Arthur so I can get a list of what attorney is connected to what firm and for what case and what is owed for that case and what station is that case for. So then we can break it down rather than just, again, a generic bill for Pacifica that I'm, you know, not too sure when some of these bills or these cases are already done and passed.
Maybe when you have that conversation with Arthur, we could get some kind of a report either to the PNB or to the NFC. And, you know, we can do it in executive session if necessary. I don't think it would probably be necessary, but if so, but that would be a good thing to catch up on. Thank you for that.
Yeah, because again, some of these cases don't, the names aren't familiar to me at all. So I'm sure that a lot of people on these calls have more historical knowledge of when that case happened or who was involved and what station was it connected to, rather, you know, than me just getting ABC versus Pacifica and they haven't been paid in 2 years. It's like, okay, you know, I need more details on it then.
Yeah, I hear you. Kind of like a certain distribution contract you had to figure out what was going on. I get that. That's all good. Okay, I'm going to take a rest. Does anybody else have a question now?
Well, this is Teresa. I'm somewhat confused. So you're getting some requests for you to pay bills, and some of them must be very old, and you can't sort out the paperwork because maybe when you took the job, somebody didn't give you the necessary paperwork of past due legal fees, for example. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and it's not just legal. We just paid a bill the other day at KPFK that was 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Never even saw the bill. I mean, I think historically there's been a lot of bills that have just been stuck in a drawer somewhere thinking they'll go away or just ignored. And then because
you're kind of suggesting you're not even sure that it hasn't even already been paid.
Well, I'm assuming that if I'm getting emails now from people that are saying you owe us money, we probably do owe them money. But rather than
I wouldn't necessarily assume that.
The ACD call center that we use at a lot of the stations, we owe them a lot of money. So they keep sending bills, but I met with the person last week for lunch. They flew out here from Salt Lake City so we could sit down in person and say, okay, this is what you say you owe us. Let's see what that actually is. Who's doing work with you? How many contracts do you have with the stations? You know, the same with we get bills from coffee companies. And it's like, okay, well, where do we have copiers? We have supposedly 10 open contracts with copy companies for Xerox machines, the copy machines. So I think what kind of has happened is because Julia at Netta was very good about returning phone calls to bill collectors. I return phone calls to bill collectors. Markeisha returns phone calls, and we have conversations with people. Now we're kind of, I don't know how it happens, but like word gets out is, oh, all of a sudden Pacifica's actually talking to the vendors that they owe money to. So a lot of people are calling us and bills are popping up saying, you know, you owed us this 7 years ago. Do you think you could pay it? You know, those kind of things. So we're trying to sort out what's a legitimate bill, what has been paid, what is actually due. We had some very generous donors in New York that paid off the Allegiance bill for WBAI. You know, I'm working with another group wanting them to help pay off, if they were willing to pay off Allegiance for WBAI. Are they willing to, you know, help make some payments for KPFK and the national office as well? And, you know, getting our phone app or our app back up and working, and what is the cost to do that? And who might be willing to cover the cost of, you know, pay off some of the past due bills with, you know, some of the websites. I know the general manager at KPFK has been personally paying for, and he's a volunteer. He's been personally paying to keep the website up and running at KPFK. The bills for the CPB things that I just talked about with the coverage of the stations and the census data, I pay for that. You know, so there's certain things that we just don't have the money to pay for, but we definitely don't just randomly start paying bills without me either meeting them in person or Markeisha and I talking with them on the phone and figuring out what has been paid, what is this for, is this legitimate bill, how much do we have to pay, can we buy more time, and, you know, trying to figure it out that way. But we, for some reason, are getting a lot of new vendors popping up out of the woodwork saying that we owe them money.
I guess that sounds like we're put in a very delicate position where people say we owe them money. They have no proof that we owe them money, that we haven't paid it. Maybe we did, maybe we didn't. But basically anybody could say, well, you owe us money, and like...
Well, we need proof. I'm not going to pay anything without proof. That's for sure. So, and I'm sure that when we have the lawyers and legal fees that are, you know, popping up of things that are owed, we're not going to randomly pay them. First of all, we don't have the money to. But I want anything, you know, just any bill even that I get at home, I make sure that I do the right thing and that covered, you know, that yes, those are the hours that I use this or did that or whatever, you know, or medical bills, you know, I take a close look at it. So it's just that I think particularly with a lot of these legal bills that have been coming through over the last couple of weeks, I don't know if there's conversations that possibly legal firms or lawyers are having with other lawyers or with our lawyers or, you know, what the conversations are. But before a bill gets paid on my side, even if I get a notification from, you know, Arthur that says, please pay this, we're not going to just pay it. I'm going to call the legal firm and get a breakdown as to what this is for, because I want to have a paper trail. So when we do our audited financial statements, if they randomly happen to pick that payment, which is what they do once the audit is done, the auditing firm goes through and will just randomly pick bills that have been paid, and it has to have a paper trail, a detailed paper trail. So I want to make sure that, you know, any sort of invoice that we pay, even if I'm told by somebody, pay this today, it will not be paid today until I have the paper trail that supports it. It just, for some reason, over the last couple of weeks, the legal bills aren't new legal bills, but just the emails regarding legal bills that have to be paid have been a little overwhelming, which is why I said I added to my list to talk to Arthur is to, you know, let's create a, I need a spreadsheet. Who's worked on what and who's owed what? Because there's just, there's names that are just popping up, and I don't know sometimes what these, you know, what lawyers connected with what firm.
Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa, and thank you, Stephanie. I believe we're running close to our overtime on this item. May I ask, is there anyone else who has further questions for Stephanie who would like to move to extend?
I would like to move to extend, but I would like to make a statement. I would say, Stephanie, thank you, and I'm sorry that so much of your time is obviously being spent on, you know, borrowing from Peter to pay Paul, because it's difficult for you to have the vision of where to take the foundation and lead us when so much of your time is consumed by that. Thank you.
Teresa, did you want to know?
I have faith, 100% faith, that we'll get it all sorted out. You know, that was a headache for Netta, and I think it was a migraine for them, but it's just a minor nuisance now for Markeisha and I. So, you know, she's very organized. I work well with spreadsheets where I can see this is the vendor, this is who it's paid. I mean, and the age payables report that I'm creating that I have has the vendor, who it's, you know, what the last payment was made, how much is due, and what it's for. You know, so if it's an electric bill, I don't know, you know, if this electric bill is for WBAI, is this electric bill for KPFK, is this electric bill for, you know, KPFT. So I have to kind of map it all out. So we're, you know, and I think as soon as I can get that done with some of these new vendors that are popping up, it'll just be a bit easier to control.
Teresa, was there going to be a move to extend in there?
No, I just wanted to thank her.
Oh, I thought you wanted to extend. Does anybody else have any other questions? Well, then I'm going to go ahead and ask one more quick question, and then we'll move on to the next item. Was that somebody asking for the...
No?
Okay. Stephanie, I just wanted to ask you, a couple of years back, again, when NETA was trying to rationalize a lot of this stuff, there was a question of the coding that this different stations were using for different line items. They were just had different codes, and they were putting things on different lines in the budgets. And, of course, they had different budget templates, and I realize you're now moving to a simpler budget template, but do we have a handle on the coding, or has that pretty much been straightened out, or are we still working on that?
It should be simple, and this is where I get confused, because it's very simple. Money comes in, you code it. We don't have that many codes. Expenses go out, you code it. You know, if everything had a paper trail, it would be easy to figure out, okay, this is a card donation. Here's the code. Plug it in. Bam, it's done. Oh, you're paying this person? Even if you're paying it out of PayPal or paying it out of petty cash, great. Have a paper trail. You know, let it just, that's why you have POs and foundations, and this is, you know, why you follow it along. But I think what happens is that there's the staff is so, and I'm not making excuses for people, but everybody is stretched so thin. So you have somebody that's you know, serving as a business manager, but they're also a program director, or they're also a membership director, or you have, you know, a skeleton crew that's trying to run and manage everything. And it's okay to ask for help. And it's okay to say, we can't handle the business management side of it, or we can't handle the, you know, bank reconciliation statement. You know, I'm fine if I get bank reconciliation that's just, you know, handwritten notes on a copy of your bank statement that just say this is used for this, this was this, this was that. You know, it doesn't need to be anything fancy. And that's kind of just the biggest concern that has kind of slowed things down, is that, you know, just do the best you can. I mean, I sent out another request to all the general managers to get membership lists, updated membership lists, as we prepare for our election from March 2022 to March 2023. And I said, even if the list is not sorted, if it's duplicated, if it's messy, I don't care. I don't care if it's, you know, a copy of lists that you're keeping on index cards. I just want to see, where are we right now? And how much work do we need to do to get the lists where they need to be as we start the election? So I think that just people are very overwhelmed and overworked with skeleton crews, and are having a hard time accepting the help and assistance that the national office is here to give them. So should everything be coded? Do they have the lists of codes to type in? Yes, they do. But, you know, with any sort of data, garbage in, garbage out. And then we've got to go in and clean it up because it wasn't input correctly in the first place.
Hmm. Okay. Thank you for that. We have a lot more business to take care of tonight. So unless you have anything to add, Stephanie, I think we should move on to the next item. You good to go?
Yeah.
I'm sure you are. Okay. So we're moving on to number 7, which was a review of the latest financials. We got them just before the meeting last time. Does anybody have any follow-up, any questions on the most recent financials that we got?
McFadden, the staff.
Go ahead.
I guess I was wondering whether we're going to get updated with some better formulas for the central services, because it was clear, I thought it was clear the last time that KPFK was central services need some adjustment. So is that in process? That's my
question. Who's your question to?
Well, Stephanie, I think.
Yeah, so that would be on the financials then, as we project out for what hasn't been paid for central services, bringing it down to 15% of their revenue, correct?
Yeah.
At the last quarter.
Yeah, I think, you know, the numbers that were in the spreadsheet were something that must go back several years, when they had a pretty high income, higher than TPFA, and so their central services charges that were listed were about the same as KPFA, and clearly their revenues are way down from that. So there's something, you know, and that was what we were working last time.
Yeah, KPFK's central service payments are listed at roughly $36,000 per month, whereas KPFA is only listed at $34,000 per month.
So we're going to have to adjust all of that. And I think you've said in the past, it's going to be a nightmare to try and figure it out. So we may have to just start from scratch.
Right. So as we plug in, once we get the consolidated financials, then from period ending March, we will then go in and change over the projections that will be for the remainder of this fiscal year. Because right now, again, what's listed on the central service payments is just what is anticipated for the whole year, and then divided that by 12. So that's projected out for each period.